Uh-oh. I can do a lot of things, but this probably isn't one of them. I don't want to have to hold that all day. So. Well, it's always good to be back, and brothers and sisters here at Montgomery. And I was telling Robert, I preach in a lot of different places to a lot of different denominations. But it seems like when I preach here, I get the butterflies in my belly, and I don't know why. I shouldn't be nervous amongst friends and brothers and sisters, but it just turns out that way. But it's always good to be back. God's been using Kim and I in various ways. We're sharing responsibilities of filling the pulpit at a Brethren Church in Waynesboro area, with Pastor Gail Rubel. Anybody remember Pastor Rubel from Macedonia for years? So we're sharing that now until they get a preacher, but that's been exciting. It's been a stretch because I have to lead the singing also, so, and you don't want to hear that. But God's been good to us, and he's keeping us busy. Time's going fast, but he's also blessing us with good health. So praise God for all that he does. Yeah, today I'd like to speak a little bit about what we all want to hear about, Jesus. That name Jesus, what do we think about when we just dwell on his name? Jesus, Jesus. Well, you know, Jesus was more than just a man. And he was more than just a prophet. He is more than just a master, a good teacher. Jesus is God. And sometimes we forget that, not in a bad way, but we pray to the Father through Jesus. That's good. But Jesus is God, and all through the New Testament and even in parts of the Old Testament, it says that Jesus is God. So that's what I'd like to speak about today. And I've asked Jeff to stay up here and lead us in another number, and he's going to be leading us in number 317. So if we could turn there and stand. That'll be good.
We'll just stand together and sing from number 317. We'll sing through this chorus twice. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Amen. You may be seated.
Jesus had his 12 disciples to walk around with him for 3 years. And all the things that he said and all the things that he did, they finally realized that, yes, Jesus is God. Only God can do all these miracles. Only God can have the crippled to walk again, and the dumb to speak again, and the dead to rise again. And John, his beloved disciple, in John chapter 1, starting at verse 1, I'm going to be reading from there and expounding on this as a little, reminder to us of who Jesus is. That's John 1, starting at verse 1. And I use the King James Bible. It's a little different than some of the modern Bibles, but it is 400 years old, so I'm going to use this Bible. And I'm getting ahead of myself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John, right away in his epistle, says that Jesus is God. He heard Jesus speak many times, showing love and concern, telling about the kingdom of God is at hand. So John lovingly refers to Jesus as the Word. And we see that it's a capital W. It's the Word. It's Jesus he's referring to. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He says, with all confidence, that Jesus is God. Now, I could stop right now with the message, because now we know that Jesus is God. And we need to know that. He's many things to us, a friend. He's a lover of our soul. But Jesus is God. And we can look down to 1 Timothy 3:16. As Paul is writing to Timothy, his young pastor, that he's gives him instruction on how to do things in the church and what to do here, what to do there. So then he brings up here in his second epistle about God, about Jesus. And in the King James, it says in 1 Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." So the King James says that God was manifest. And we all know that Paul was talking about Jesus. Jesus was shown as a man. Jesus is God. And Paul tells Timothy here, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, no man has seen the Father except Jesus. But many people saw Jesus as God here on earth. And Jesus knew exactly who he was when he was talking to the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and all these other religious leaders at the time. And I'm sure he had a hard time sometimes just saying, "I am God, listen to me. You're not leading the people the way God's people, the way that you should, my people." But still, his humbleness, as we are to be humble in our lives, always shone through, even though he was God. Even though he was God. And a few references here that I like to read is 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." Again, John puts Jesus as God. There's only one God, but God has three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, these three are one. And I don't want us to get confused about the Godhead, the Trinity. It's one God. We have one God whom we serve. But God does have three personalities or personages that we can see here throughout his word. And as we look at what John continues to say in his letters, it should confirm in our heart that we do serve Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord being God. He had no difficulty in saying that, in believing that, and living by that. He saw Jesus 3 years do all these miracles, and he knew again that only God could do these great miracles. No one else, not a prophet, and not a teacher, only God. And today, if we get nothing else out of the message, we need to remember that Jesus is God. So when I say God, it could be I'm talking about the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I think we say God and then we say and Jesus. And personally, I don't like to hear that. I like to hear the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because there's one God. And as we look here, continue here, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, Jesus Christ, John says, made everything. Nothing was made that he didn't make. He made all the trees and the flowers, the grasses, the clouds, the rain that we get, everything he has made for a purpose. He also made us. He didn't speak us into existence like everything else. He made us in his own image. His own image. So that we have a purpose on earth, and that is to worship him as God. He is God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus, we know, is a light. He's the light of our life. He's the light of the church, his church, spiritual church, that as Christians we are all part of. And that light shines great in us, and it should shine great out of us, so that when people see us, they should say, there goes a Christian. Is that what people say when they see us, when they talk to us, when they see the things that we do? Do they say they must be a Christian? Well, you see, we need to be and do the things that Christians are supposed to do. That's to love each other. Jesus said that they will know that you are mine by the love you show each other. And love is a big part of God. And Jesus preached on this many, many times. But he is a light that shineth in darkness. You see, without Jesus in our heart, we're still in darkness. And in darkness, we can walk around and we can stumble and fall and, you know, we just can't see anything. But if we have the light in us, then we can see. We can use God's wisdom to figure things out in our life, what we need to do. And that's the light of the world, the light of the world, Jesus Christ. So as a Christian, and I say born again Christian, that we must be a Christian. And Paul talks several times about what a Christian is and what a Christian is supposed to do. But I think we here know what we are supposed to do and be as Christians. But Jesus, there's just something about that name. There's something about that name, Jesus. And that something should be that Jesus is God. Jesus didn't have a problem saying that he was God. He didn't have a problem saying that. Again, I can refer to John 8:58. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham I was." Before Abraham I was. Now they're looking at a 33-year-old man saying that even though Abraham lived all those years ago, centuries and centuries ago, that I am older than him. I was before Abraham, the father of you. I was before him. He refers to himself as I am, the great I am, whom God was referred to in the Old Testament. I am. So he is not ashamed or afraid to proclaim himself to be God. In John 14:6, we can look and we can see where he says, and this should be in our hearts at all time, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." That's a bold statement for a man to make, but it's an appropriate statement for God to make. No one comes to the Father but by Jesus. And a lot of people in churches today, I've seen that they rely on church membership. They rely on baptism. They rely on good works. They rely on communion. They rely on a lot of good things, that I am a good person, so therefore, I'm going to heaven. But you see, Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but by him. Now, all these things I mentioned come after the fact that we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Accept him as the God who he is, the only true living God. Even back in the Old Testament, we can read several passages where God proclaims Jesus as the Lord of hosts, besides himself. And a good one is Isaiah 44:6. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and besides me there is no God." He's saying there is one God, but he has a Redeemer, himself. Himself. He said, the Lord of hosts. So it was plural here again, not just the Father, but also the Son, the Lord of hosts. We can know that God provided the perfect lamb for the sacrifice that had to be done so that mankind could go to heaven. And he provided, he told Abraham through the angel that he would provide the sacrifice. And that sacrifice was his Son, Jesus Christ, the second part of the Trinity. So as we look all these passages, we can look and we can look through Genesis in chapter 1, and it said that God said and God did, and God did all these things. And as we know through John, that Jesus created everything. He created everything. Now the next few verses talks about John the Baptist, that he was not the light of the world, but he spoke about the light of the world. And then verse 9, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Every man that cometh into the world. This light touches everyone, but not everyone accepts to receive the light. They continue to walk in darkness, as only mankind can choose to do. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." Look around us today. That statement that John made really correlates to today. Correlates in the fact that how many people are going to church and truly believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? And how many people do not. Seems to me like I go to a lot of churches and there's less and less and less people in the pews. That doesn't tell me that that the light is in a lot of people if they don't continue to let it shine in them. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He did come to the people, God's people, and they didn't want anything to do with him. In fact, the leaders of the religion, they wanted him done away with. And they finally, they thought, killed him. But God had different plans. God's plan was to have to rise again by his own power on that third day. And on that third day, he did rise. And after many days, he ascended into heaven. So man has no control over the church. This is a sanctuary set apart from the world. And the world has no business being in God's sanctuary. Jesus died, paid a heavy price for all of us here. God loves us so much. Do we love God enough? I say many times that today we do have a love problem. And the problem is that we're not loving God enough. He loves us so much that he just spread his arms out for all of us. For all of us. Not just some of us. Not just for the rich. Not just for the families, some families. But for everybody. Because he loves everybody. And he wants everybody. And everybody needs him. Whether we realize it or not. Everybody needs God. Because as Jeff mentioned in Sunday school this morning, that one day there's going to be a shout and a trumpet is going to blow, and then we're going to see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the air. And we don't want to miss that day, because what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. You see, Jesus is God. And Jesus loves each and every one of us. Truly, we must accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If we've gone to church for 50 years, great. We've learned a lot about Jesus. We learned a lot about God, about the Bible. And I call that head knowledge. And it is. We need knowledge. But that knowledge has to go to our heart. We have to truly believe in our heart in Jesus Christ. Not just know of Jesus. We need to know Jesus. And when we know Jesus, surely we will know that Jesus is God, just as he says he is. We can look a little bit further and get down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Truly, God is full of grace. His grace, he forgives our sins. And his mercy lets us go to heaven instead of to another place where we deserve to go for sinning against him. Even as we can look at verse 12, I want to go back up to verse 12 if you're following. But as many as received him, to him gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believe on his name as God. Only God can give us the power to become the sons and daughters of God. So when we say the name Jesus or hear the name Jesus, think of God. Think of power, think of grace, think of truth, and know that truly he is the only way to heaven. The only way to heaven. He didn't give us 50 ways that we could go to heaven. He gave us one, a perfect sacrifice 2,000 years ago. So I didn't want this to be an evangelistic message, but I believe God has given me that revivalist instinct. And I don't know if everybody here is saved and going to heaven. God does. And you know yourself if you have truly accepted Christ. Not just saying it, but knowing it. God loves us, and God wants us. And I say praise God for that. We're wanted by a perfect God, a God who always was and always will be, a God who come to us in the form of a man to die a horrible death so that we wouldn't have to, so that we could live and live to his glory and not our own glory. Again, his gesture of love that day 2,000 years ago should mean so much to us. That gesture of saying, here's my son. And Jesus did go all the way for us. And as Christians, we need to go all the way for him. All the way. You know, he could have gone down off the cross by his own power. He could have called 10,000 angels. But he loved us so much that he said, it is finished. It is finished. And we need to say that about our previous lives, if we haven't already. It is finished. Now I'm following Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Today could be the day of salvation for you. You know it. God wants you. So if you haven't already, ask God to come into your heart. Ask God to forgive your sins by the blood of his son, Jesus. That's why he died. And today could be your day of salvation. As Jesus said, today is a day of salvation. So think on these words. Dwell on Jesus. And know in your heart 100% that truly I am born again by the Spirit of God. You see, it's not too hard. God made it pretty simple for us to believe in him. To believe in him. And as I close, I just want to say here in verse 13, which were born not of the blood, or not of the blood, but of the will of the nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So when we're born again, we go to Christ. It's by God. Not by us. God does everything. Come to him now just as you are, if you haven't already. And you'll see that your days will change, your life will change because of the love of God in you. And I think with that, I'll have a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you now, and again, I thank you for all that you do for us. I thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that you did come down from heaven to earth to live and to die and to rise again for us, so that all who believe in you, Father, that we should not die, but have everlasting life. Father, we thank you for the opportunities that you give us, the opportunities that come around, when you come around, Father, and touch us to let us know that you are here with us. Father, I pray now that if there is anybody here today who has never accepted you, and Father, they know now that they need you and they want you, they want the eternal life, that precious gift you have given to mankind. They want that, Father. I pray that you will give them a special touch today, that they will say yes, Father. And Father, I ask that you will just continue to be with Montgomery here, Father, as we grow. And Father, and grow in love, in your love. Father, that you will give us wisdom and discernment in our lives and as a church. Father, that we can let everybody know that you love us. Father, that you want us. And most of all, Father, we need you. And all these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And with that, we're dismissed. Thank you.